Paul, on many occasions, referred to our Christian life as a race. He made use of this term because it was well known to the Corinthians, due to the fact that they were passionate. They had strong feelings towards, emotional feelings for the Grecian games, which were the chief glory and for their city, and of which, at this particular period of time, threw the Olympic Games into the shadows. This metaphor, the race, which has spread throughout the common language of Christianity, will be the subject of today's sermonette. My title today is, No Matter What Happens, Finish the Race. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, you don't have to turn there, we are encouraged to run with endurance the race that is before us. What race are we talking about? It's the race of our Christian life. Running races it's not an easy thing to do. It's hard work. It takes a lot of effort, and a lot of training is required for such an event. The actual race can have many obstacles that we have to overcome. And it can be very easy to become discouraged or even quit when things don't go as planned. Bill Rogers, winner of 4 Boston and 4 New York City marathons, said the marathon race can and will humble you. I'd like to read you a poem today. I took it from the book, A Second Helping of Chicken Soup for the Soul, and it's written by D.H. Groberg, and it's titled, The Race. Now, it's a little bit on the long side, so I'm going to read it quickly, but I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Quit, give up, you're beaten, they shout at me and plead. There's just too much against you now. This time you cannot succeed. And as I start to hang my head in front of failure's face, my downward fall is broken by the memory of a race. They all lined up so full of hope, each thought to win the race, or tie for first, or if not that, to at least take second place. As fathers watched from far off the side, each cheering for his son, each boy hoped to show his dad that he would be the one. And one boy in particular, whose dad was in the crowd, was running near the lead and thought, my dad will be so proud. But as he speeded down the field across the shallow dip, the little boy who thought to win lost his step and slipped. Trying hard to catch himself, his hands flew out to brace, and mid the laughter of the crowd, he fell flat on his face. Down he fell, and with him hope. He couldn't win it now. Embarrassed, sad, he only wished to disappear somehow. But as he fell, his dad stood up and showed his anxious face, which to the boy so clearly said, get up and win this race. He quickly rose, no damage done, behind a bit that saw, and ran with all of his might, mind and might, to make up for his fall. So anxious to restore himself, to catch up and to win, his mind went faster than his legs, and he slipped and fell again. But in the laughing crowd he searched and found his father's face. That steady look which said again, get up and win this race. Exerting everything he had, he gained 8 or 10. By trying so hard to catch the lead, he slipped and he fell again. Defeat, he lied there suddenly, silently. A tear dropped from his eye. There's no sense running anymore. 3 strikes, I'm out. Why try? The will to rise disappeared. All hope had fled away. So far behind, so air-prone, a loser all the way. I've lost, so what's the use? He thought, I'll live with my disgrace. But when he thought about his dad, who soon he'd have to face, get up, an echo sounded, get up and take your place. You were not meant for failure here. Get up and win the race. With borrowed will, get up, it said, you haven't lost at all. For winning is no more than this, to rise each time you fall. 3 times he'd fallen, stumbling, 3 times he rose again. Too far behind to hope to win, he still ran to the end. And even though he came in last, with head bowed low, unproud. You would have thought he won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dad he sadly said, "I didn't do so well." "To me you won," his father said. "You rose each time you fell." And when things seemed dark and hard and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me in my race. For all of life is like that race, with ups and downs and all, and all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. "Quit! Give up! You're beaten!" they still shout in my face. But another voice within me says, "Get up and win the race." I don't know about you, but I can relate to that story, that poem. We face many, many obstacles in our life. And some hard times, it's just really hard to get up, isn't it? As we run our race in life, do we have to finish first in order to obtain the prize? Well, the answer is no, we don't. It doesn't matter where in the race we finish. The key is we have to finish. What matters is that we don't give up. It's about continually moving forward. In competitive games, our opponents study to know where our weaknesses are. And that's where they'll attack and try to bring us down by weakening those areas. This is what Satan does to us as we live our life. He attacks our weaknesses and he tries to knock us down. When he is successful at knocking us down, then he tries to keep us down. And he keeps coming at us, and he keeps coming at us, and he keeps coming at us. He wants us to think that we can't get up again. That there's no use to feel that there's no chance of being able to complete what we started out to do. Satan wants us to give up and just quit. We can't do that. Just because we fall throughout our lives doesn't make us failures. In Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says, "For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again." Seven, the way it's used here, means he will continually do so, abundantly, continually, always. Staying down and not getting up is what will cause us to fail. We need to make the choice to get up when we fall, even if we need help to do so. We live in an age when there is no time to stop. There's no time to take a break, and we definitely don't have time to just quit because we think there's no use. Turn with me, please, to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. And we will read verses 28 through 31. Isaiah 40, and starting in verse 28. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, and his understanding is unsearchable." It's uncomprehendable. "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God will supply our needs, and he gives us the strength to keep moving forward. All we have to do is stay on the course, do as we should, and endure to the end. Christ said in Matthew 24:13, "Those who endures to the end, the same will be saved." I've heard it said, "It is in vain to begin something unless we persevere to the end." How do we do that? How do we stay the course and keep moving forward? How do we persevere through the obstacles that we face daily and endure to the end? We do that by never losing sight of where we are headed. pressing forward requires spiritual strength from God and a constant renewal of it. Besides all the obvious, prayers and study and fasting and meditation, we must follow the rules. We must follow God's commands and then watch with caution the dangers which surround us while we're still in the flesh. Let's turn to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verses 25 through 27. Proverbs 4. We'll read 25 through 27. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the left or the right. Remove your foot from evil. What Solomon's saying here is to keep all the commands, the rules for the race, the rules for our life, and to carefully keep our focus on the path centered in God's ways without deviating from that path. This metaphorical race that we are running is not about being first, second, or third. It's about doing our best. It's about making good decisions. It's enabling us to complete the course and not letting anyone or anything stop us from finishing our race. 1 Timothy 6:12, you don't have to turn there. 1 Timothy 6:12 encourages us. It says, fight the good fight of faith. In the Greek, the word fight is an athletic term meaning to engage in a contest. The contest that we're engaged in is this life, the life of the believer, our lives. And we have to strive to win the prize, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the prize of our calling. If we begin to grow weary because our race seems too long and the goal seems too far away and we lose grip of how close we really are to the finish line, we can lose out on that prize of our calling. It doesn't matter where we finish in this race. It's about making the choice to finish, regardless of the setbacks we will encounter. We must keep moving forward, and like the Apostle Paul said, pressing to the mark, towards the mark. God's watching. When we fall, He doesn't hide Himself from us. He isn't disappointed. He isn't disgraced by us. Instead, He is there along the way encouraging us to get back up and finish the race. Because that's what a loving parent does. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to accomplish all that we can. He wants us to overcome the obstacles we face in this life. He wants us to cross the finish line. And if we let Him, He'll help us do just that. As we start to wrap things up now, I'd like to share another story with you, and this one's a true story. It's a story taken from the ESPN program, written by Rick Weinberg. And as I read this story, I'd like to ask you to do something for me. As you listen to the story and you hear the name of the athlete, think of your name. And then when you hear the Father being talked about, think about God, our Father. Derek Redmond is an athlete that most people don't know. Have any of you heard of him? I never did. He was a runner who had to persevere through years of setbacks before he was able to cross an Olympic finish line. Derek and his dad were very close. When Derek ran his races, it was as if his father was running right there next to him. In 1992, the day of the Olympic race finally arrived. Derek and his father talked about ignoring all the past heartaches, all the past failures. They agreed if anything bad happened, no matter what it was, Derek has to finish the race, period. He had to get across that line. The race begins and Derek breaks from the pack and quickly seizes the lead, lengths ahead of the rest of the runners. "Keep it up, keep it up," Derek's father said to himself. Only 175 meters now away from finishing. And then Derek hears a pop in his right hamstring and begins to hop on one leg. And then he slows down and he falls on the track. Derek's dad, seeing his son in trouble, races from the stands. All he can think about is getting to his son to help. As the medical crew arrives with the stretcher, Redmond tells him, "No way. There is no way I'm getting on that stretcher. I am going to finish my race." Suddenly, everyone realized that Redmond isn't dropping out of the race. He's going to attempt to hobble his way to the finish line. The crowd rises and they begin to roar. Redmond heard the cheers, but he later said he wasn't doing it for the crowd. Whether the crowd thought I was an idiot or a hero, I wanted to finish my race. I'm the one who has to live with my choice, he thought. One painful step at a time and one more painful than the other, Redmond limped onward. He kept moving forward. He kept the forward motion, forward momentum. And Redmond's father finally was able to run to his son. "That's my son out there," he yelled to security, "and I'm going out there to help him." And when he got there, he said to his son, "I'm here, son. We'll finish together." And then together, arm in arm, father and son, as they approached the finish line, Redmond's father released his grip on Derek so that Derek could cross that finish line by himself on his own. Just as they vowed that they would do, Derek finished the race. "I'm the proudest father alive," he tells the press afterwards, tears running down his face. "I'm prouder of him than if I would have been if he had won the gold medal." It took a lot of guts for him to do what he did. Derek Redmond didn't win the Olympic medal that day. I'm not sure if he ever got to win any medal in any Olympic event afterwards. But he was successful in this. He kept the agreement that he made with his father that no matter what would happen, he would finish the race, and he did so. How awesome is it? How awesome is it that we have a loving God, our loving Father, who loves us so much that He too is at the sidelines, cheering for and encouraging us and willing to help us when we have fallen so that we in our lives, no matter what happens, can finish our race. So brethren, as we were encouraged in Hebrews 12 verse 1, we run with endurance the race that is set before us. It doesn't matter where we finish the race, but what we must run as to obtain. And if we can't run, then we walk. And if we can't walk, then we crawl. But whatever we do, we have to cross the finish line. We must finish the race. Have a great Sabbath.